and welcome to another episode of the Everyman Drummer Podcast. I am your host, Will. Your Twitter handle is Will Geronimo, and your email address will be soon set up so you guys can email me whenever you want, and we can talk about stuff on that email address. So, you guys know the drill. This is your podcast. This is the podcast that we're here to talk about whatever we want, whatever we want to talk about, whatever you guys have an idea for. Drums, drumming, music, drummers, whatever. If you guys read an article in Modern Drummer Magazine or in Drum Magazine, you know, let's talk about those. And speaking of Drum Magazine, I was reading an article online on Drum Magazine about 19 ways to simplify your setup. Check that out right there. That one's one that touches close to a lot of us drummers, because most of you guys probably are like me. When it comes time to play a gig, we don't have the luxury of roadies because we're playing local gigs. You know, everybody would probably agree to that one. You know, most of us, at least listening to this podcast, you know, we're going to be loading in our stuff ourselves. We don't have the luxury of having a roadie or a drum tech that sits behind us like the professionals guys do. The guys on the big gig shouldn't say professionals. We're all professionals in this aspect here. You know, it depends on how you look at it. Your level of professionalism counts on you guys. That's what it really comes down to, basically. So, reading this article by Rick Van Horn and Drum Magazine, this is the May issue of it. 19 ways to simplify your setup to get in and out of a gig real fast. Because everybody knows, when you're in that band, we're usually the first ones in and the last ones out. You know? So if you're fortunate enough, you got some really good bandmates that'll help you load up your gig. Or help you load up your rig, actually, to speak. I've been fortunate in a couple of local bands that I've had, you know, the guitar player, bass player, they're usually the ones that'll help me out. Get this stuff off the gig, off the stage really quick. You know, that's what it really comes down to. Like, they really, all they have to do is really pack up a couple amps, throw them in a case, throw their guitars in a case, throw that stuff into the van, the truck, car, whatever they're driving that night. You know, not us drummers. You have a case for everything. Depending how big your rig is, mine's usually a pretty large rig. I take the large rig that I usually record on, I take that out on, you know, big gigs. Unless the gig is really called for something minimal. You know, doing an acoustic set, then yeah, I'll bust out the small jazz kick, and then everybody's happy because that's a quick in and out load in right there. But for the most part, yeah, I take my signature rig out there. Got three rack toms, bass drum, floor tom, two snare drums, a million cymbals, a couple thousand stands. Yeah, that's me. Don't matter. That's part of my rig right there. But to keep it short and simple, you got to be in and out of that gig fast, right? It's not. Nah, I don't do that. Again, unless the gig calls for something really small and intimate, yeah, I'll take the small. The small kit. I remember I was doing a gig back in the Majesty days, and we were playing this gig over in Chicago at the Abbey, right there off of Elston and Kimball. So 15 minute load times, blah 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 blah. Okay, I remember we were playing with another group, and it's a 15 minute in between set. I remember the comment that I heard was, oh, the drummer's got a, that's a tall order for drummers to ask. You know, looking at me because I played the big kit. I looked at it, shrugged my shoulders, whatever. You know, 15 minutes, big deal. No big deal there. Come on. The smart thing to do was, while the other band was playing on that gig right there, you start building your kit off to the side. Get everything in order. Get it set. you're not wasting anybody's time. You're not wasting your time. You're not wasting the rest of the band's time. Because if they have to dredgedly, God forbid anybody has to help the drummer, you know. Jeez, man, we're the only ones keeping your band together here. Come on. God forbid anybody helps us. But built the drum kit off to the side. 15 minutes, it became a 10-minute, maybe 5 to 10-minute marathon. Get the gig up, get the kit up and running on the stage. It was really quick, really fast. Blah, blah, blah. 15 minutes, it's a piece of cake, whatever. Time don't scare me. I control the time. I am the drummer. Tempo is what I make it. If I want to play it at a million beats a second, then we're going to play it at that. Good luck trying to keep up. God knows I'll probably pass out after the first couple minutes. It's extreme drumming right there, people, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. That one probably touches out to, to a few of you listeners out there. There's probably a few of you listeners out there that are into that million beats a second. You know, that's great. Good. You know, keep it up. If you can sustain that for a gig, more power to you. That's just not my style. That's not how I play. And so every player, you guys have your own, you know, every player has their own style and the way they like to play. Some guys do like to play that extreme style. Million notes a minute, million notes a second, whatever. I don't do that on my end. That's not how I play the drums. I'm not saying that those other cats don't play musically. That's just the way they play. I play a little different style. Different times, man. Different times. When I came up, it was more technique than speed. We'll get into that discussion on another day. Another episode of the Everyman Drummer Podcast. Remember, your handle to tweet at me is at Will Geronimo. I haven't set up your email address yet, but I will set your email address so you guys can send those comments in. They're negatives. I want to hear negatives. I want to hear positives. Let's hear it all. You guys have an idea. This is your podcast. Send it out to me. We'll talk. But anyway, back to the loading times. You know, 15-minute loading time in between sets. Piece of cake, especially if you do it right. And don't be afraid to take that big kid out on that gig with you. No big deal. No big deal. Back to that article, he breaks down. Rick Van Horn, by far one of the... He's a very exceptional editorial writer at Drum Magazine. And when I had my subscription, I always enjoyed reading his articles. It was very insightful. It was almost like the preconception of this very podcast. You know, he takes it from a real-world perspective, sort of like what I'm doing... which is the essence and the precursor of this pod. But anyway, he breaks it down. 19 ways to simplify your setup. Basically stuff that probably a lot of us drummers already do. You mark your hardware. Mark your hardware. And if you're fortunate enough, you don't have to collapse it down, meaning you don't have to, bring it all the way down to get it in there. Now, this is one idea that he touched on, and I like it. I like it a lot. Come on. This idea is use a golf bag. For the most part, golf sticks, they're pretty large. Why in the hell not use a golf bag? Why spend, a couple $100 on a Vulta case? I had a guitar player of mine decided he was gonna look for an old golf case of his and use it for my hardware bag. Because at the time I had a hardware bag with no wheels, and then I finally bought it. And having a hardware bag with no wheels and you cram everything in there, that's going to break your back. I'm just telling you that right now. So if you got the wheels and you got the means for it, go for it. Invest on the ones with the wheels. If you even have the means to invest in a vaulted case, by far do that. If you've got the way to transport it to your gigs, I don't have that luxury. Drive around in a car. I jam everything in my car. And you know what? I would jam the entire drum kit in a little tiny little hatchback, and I'd still have room for people to sit in it, whether it be in the front or in the back. I'd still have room. Seats fold down, man. Use the most of your space. Turns into a little clown car for a little bit. It's funny, but you know what? Gets the job done. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna be that guy that drives around in a van unless I have to, unless the band leaders or whoever is in charge of the band, you know, they buy a van and everybody can tour around with a trailer on the back. Sure. Not me. Mm-mm. I like driving to the gig on my own because I can leave after the gig if I choose to. I don't have to wait for everybody else. And I the freedom of being able to get to the gig, you know, at your own time, I like that. It's not that I'm not trying to be a jerk or, you know, an ass about it, but if I can get to the gig on my own time and go through my own ritual and my own routine, we'll talk about that in another pod. That's easy right there. Most musicians do that. Some of them do, at least. Some of them like to travel in the bus or in the van, whatever. Get that camaraderie. But, you know, it's like going to work. You know, you're carpooling. So, but anyway, back to that article before we veer off too much. He's talking about, you know, the hardest part about setting up and teardown is actually marking and remembering where the drum kit should be from gig to gig, especially if you're playing multiple gigs in a week. If you're playing like three, four shows in a week, and you're moving from venue to venue. Everybody, all the drummers out there, you guys all know this. No two stages are built identical. But here's the but right here. Check this out right here. This is the one. No two stages are built identical, but your drum set will stay the same. Check that out, man. Woo! I bet you didn't think of that one. Most of you guys are listening. Most of you guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, are probably listening to this thinking, this guy's freaking nuts. What's he talking about over there? You all know what I'm talking about. You know? Like I said, I'm touching on the topics that you guys want to hear about. We've experienced this before. Share some of the same thoughts. Come on. Let's get that going. But when you're coming to your drum kit, if you've got for a long time, and this is what Rick talked about in the articles, you go around and you have a little drum rug. Everybody hates that drum stage that you're on. If you're not prepared, something is going to walk away from you. The bass drum's going to rock away. You're going to find yourself in an awkward position. You're just going to be uncomfortable. You're going to find yourself shifting the drum kit after every song, every break. That's a pain in the ass. Everybody knows that. All the drummers know that. We all know that. So, reading his article, a lot of the stuff that he was talking about was stuff that I've already done, and probably some of it that you do. But he's emphasizing the points coming at you to help move along the gig, to help minimize and maximize your setup and teardown times. Because everybody knows after the gig, you're playing a four-hour gig and you're tired as hell. You just want to get the hell out of there and go home. I know sometimes I do, you know. I'll stick around, but I want to get that stuff out of the way. That way, I don't have to worry about it. Usually, after a gig, this is my style. As soon as the gig's done, last song rolls up, the big drum fill, blah, 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 whatever. Everybody's going crazy. Ah! I usually hit that last note, bow, whatever the hell it is. Bass drum, China, last fill on the floor, tom, whatever. The big, you know, everybody knows the big ending, the rock ending, the whatever. Double bass drums, a flourish of double bass drums on cymbals, and blah, 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 blah. It ends, right? I stand up, I give my little wave to the crowd, jump out from behind the kit, go to the front stage, wave again. Guess what? I'm back at the kit tearing it down. All within a span of like a couple minutes. Cymbals come down. Those go into the cases, the hardware starts going down, those go into the cases, and it has to be done in a particular order or else you're going to screw everything up on you. You're going to be lost. You know, I always do it in a particular order, but I start tearing it down, then you get to the bass drum, and I'm fortunate enough to still have my rack toms mounted on the bass drum, which is something that I don't think that will ever change for me because it's of a convenience. It's easy. It maximizes your set, your load up, and your loadout time. Check that out. Wow, man. But you didn't see that one coming. I did. The more stuff you can double up on a stand, come on. That's really, think about it. The more stuff you got doubled up on a cymbal stand or on a drum, that's less you have to take down. Rick didn't mention that. He mentioned that only on cymbal stands, because a lot of these new cats now, a lot of these drum companies, and I think I've put a PSA out there, stop making virgin bass drums, man. I don't like them. But the majority of drummers do. That's great. I'm not the majority of drummers, so I guess it's working against me. But we're talking about everything in a whole here. So majority of you guys, I mean, come on, shoot me a tweet. Again, your Twitter handle, at Will Geronimo. Send me what you guys like, what helps in these loadouts. You know, he touches on the use of multiple clamps. He says, do not take those clamps off of the damn. Well, he doesn't use damn, but I like to. I'm just getting excited about this topic because it's something that, you know, I don't know if we all think the same. Some cats will take every piece of hardware off of their stands and throw it in a bag. Then you got to go to the next gig and you got to kind of remember where it is unless you marked it. Now, I mark everything for extra security. I take my paint marker, mark it where it is, because every drummer knows you got to have consistency is what rules right there, man. That's the deal. But he talks about loading up different, you know, clamps on different stands. Yeah, the more that you can double up, the quicker your loadout time and your load-in time is going to be. You know. Another thing that he talks about is taking a gig rug with you. For a long time, I used to do that. I used to take a gig rug with me. I unfortunately don't have one anymore. If I do, it's somewhere in storage somewhere. I don't know where the hell it is. But I will rest assured, I will invest in another one, or I will find the one that I used to take all the time. And he talks about spiking the rig. Now, we're not talking about taking the spikes out on the bass drum spur. He's talking about spiking it with gaffer tape or duct tape. You know, gaffer tape is going to be a little bit easier to come off. Duct tape is a little more, you know, it's going to get a little tacky. You're going to rip some hairs out. Gaffer tape, what he's talking about, spiking, I don't know what the hell that is, but spiking, what he's talking about there is you mark up the gig rug, and this is something that we probably already do. If not, probably we'll start doing it. But he talks about it in a way where all you got to do is you basically just mark the hardware where it is in a U pattern. That way you can always come back to it all the time. You set it up and it's always in a consistent setup right there. That's what you want. That's what drummers want. That's what we want. We want to be able to be comfortable no matter what. I remember the first gig that I played, the very first gig I played back in 2003, I had the drum rug with me. I marked up exactly, I used the permanent marker, marked up the spiked everything. Set that thing up on stage exact same. It felt like I was at home. It was great. Difference was there was people. Not a lot of people, but there were some people looking at you. Now you're playing in front of a mini crowd. Lights in your eyes, blah, 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 blah. Shout out to Geddy Lee's t-shirt from that Snakes and Arrows tour. He has the blah, blah, blah t-shirt. Geddy Lee, I have that same t-shirt as well. Anyway, maximizing your rig. Check that out. That's a good, or in Rick's terms, simplifying, you know, 19 ways to simplify your setup. Get in and get out of that gig, you know. Talks about breaking down the drum set efficiently, starting from the top up and start going your way down. You're not going to start from the middle of it and then you're going to leave a skeleton rack of cymbals and stands. He touched on starting from the top up, from the top and working down. Taking your cymbals down first and going to the stands and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that way you're just left with stands and whatever's left of the drums. It's a no-brainer right there, right? You would think so. Seen some odd things on a few gigs. Like, what the hell are you doing? But you know what? If it works for that guy to do it in a backwards order, that's his deal, not mine. But yeah, He also talks about the memory lock system. You know what? Now, this is one thing that the memory lock system, I never understood the memory lock system. I'm sure there's a way, there's a science. I'll probably have to look it up on how to actually use a memory lock. I don't particularly use them. When it says built-in memory locks, I love it. I don't have to worry about lugging the drum key around and moving it. My memory lock is a paint marker, a red line, and that's where I know where it is. As long as it hits the bottom of that red line, we're set to go. I don't care if the hardware's brand new. I'll mark that thing up right there. You know, my hardware, not yours. What do you care about it? But I never understood the thing on the memory locks. Never understood how they worked. Maybe somebody can help me out on that. Again, your Twitter handle, Will Geronimo. Shoot me a message. Comment. My people, this is for you. I do this for you guys and gals. Because our drumming world is not just men, not just boys, not just guys. It's branched out to the ladies. And I'll say there's some, you know, fantastic, wonderful ladies that sit around, watch, listen to them play the drums. Makes you think a little bit, you know, makes you want to work just as hard as them. They got to work hard, you know. But it's another topic for another day. Look at this. We're shooting out topics as we're talking about one damn thing here. Look at that. Check that out. So he talks about getting the bigger bag, so that way you don't have to collapse the stands down, which is something, you know, that's good. If you can, if you can pull that off, great. You know, he's talking about getting the golf club. The whole essence of that article was, let's not waste anybody's time. Let's get that gig, let's get that rig up and out as quickly as possible. The quicker that you can get set up, the faster. And you'll be able to start that gig on time. People will love that. Everybody's going to love that. Everybody knows that. If the gig starts on time, everybody's happy. You don't have to hear, oh, they're late, blah, blah, blah. I've heard that already one too many times. You know, I'd love to see them do that if they paid, you know, some band X to go to an arena and, you know, they never start on time. Our favorite bands never start on time. You know, give or take a couple minutes, but some of them start late and you're like, whatever. And some of them are really good at making up the time for you and they give you the extra on there. So, but that's the whole essence of the article. I rate basically stopped at cables because I don't gig with a lot of electronics and I don't have my own mics that I tote around with me. Usually you leave that up at the sound team is the sound company is the ones that provide a lot of that. And I've been fortunate enough to, when I played a couple of live gigs at the sound company is there, I don't want to deal with mics. I have enough problems with that when I do that here in the drum room here at home. Stuff doesn't work, then you have a headache. At least when you're on the live gig, stuff doesn't work. You leave that up to the, to the sound company. Let them deal with it. That's what they do. So reading that article, I stopped right there. Once it started introducing wires and electronics to it, I said, the hell with this. I'm stopping because I don't have it. I don't gig with that stuff anymore. Triggers or samplers anymore. Not as much. If need be, I will bring those back out if I have to trigger a sample from a different song. But at the moment, currently, no, I do not use that. It's all acoustic stuff on there. It's real. So, but yeah, great article. I recommend you guys check that out. It's in the May issue of Drum Magazine, one of my favorite publications out there. You know, they take it to another level. Drum Magazine is one of those publications that they really speak to the working drummer. You know, it's more of an alternative pop thing, but versus some of the other publications that they jam down your throat how many different times you can play a paradiddle. Come on, man. We don't really need that. What are you doing? Jamming down 10 different ways to play a paradiddle. And all you need is the original one. That one works just fine. I don't need to do a paradiddle, diddle, 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 diddle. Some of you guys might, maybe, but not me or double paradiddle. Actually, I was practicing with double paradiddles. So those are actually pretty fun, so I'll take that back. I actually use those just to warm up. I don't use them when I'm recording a track. I just use the regular paradiddle. So, but yeah, that article, check it out. 19 ways to maximize your setup. Or simplify your setup. Looking at the damn thing right in front of my eyes and I'm making up words. But yeah, check it out on Drum Magazine May June issue, something like that. Great article. It'll help you. It'll inspire you to get when you're at your next gig to be in and out to set up that drum set, and then you don't have to worry about them. If somebody tells you got 15 minute load time, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Look at it. 15 minutes. Hey, piece of cake. Whatever. Give me a break. I can do better than that. But, yeah. That article was good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I recommend it to you guys. You know, check it out at Drum Magazine. You know, he also talks about if you can afford it and just make a friend. You know, have somebody load it for you. Then you don't have to worry about it. Pay it forward. You know, whoever wants to help, they can help me. Whatever, it's nice every now and then to get the help, but most people know that us musicians, we're very particular about everything that goes on with it. So, I mean, don't touch this, don't do that. That's what we get at. So, great article, simplifying your setup. Get in and get out, mark it up, mark the hardware, mark the drum rug. That way, you're just moving. Everything's fluid there, and that's what you want to do. You want to be fluid on getting your gig set for the next show, getting your rig set for the next show. Because God knows, us drummers, we like to take a lot of stuff with us, unless you're playing that small, intimate gig. Now, if you're taking your big Terry Bozzio set on an intimate gig, we're going to have a little chat over there. Even Terry's going to probably be like, what the hell's going on here? Then again, probably not. So, do a shout out to the man from the Black Page, Mr. Terry Bozzio there. The king of the giant drum set. The king of the chromatic giant drum set, as you were. But for us regular drummers out there, this is one that it's very useful for us to look at, because again, we need to get in and out of the gig real fast and not waste anybody's time. So I highly check that out. That's how I would mark hardware up, and next gig it's still marked, bam bam bam, you're in and out of that venue and you're ready to go, ready to rock and roll. So great article, check it out in Drum Magazine, you know, the May issue, June issue, whichever one it is. 19 ways to simplify your setup. So that's all I got today, guys and gals, boys and girls. Until we meet again, keep drumming, keep playing those drums, keep making the noise. Because again, like I've alluded before, the music doesn't stop until you stop making it. So keep it going, and we're going to get through all of it. If we haven't by now, we will get through. And we'll see you guys on the next time, and we'll see you on the next episode. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.